it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two of Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday to you. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. He has gone down there to get in the, they call it the scrum, which I find interesting. And the only other place I think you find the word scrum is in rugby. There's a scrum in rugby. What else you got for scrum? A bunch of reporters standing around manager Mike Schilt. That's called a scrum as well.
It is called the media scrum.
The media scrum.
And the media scrum gets a little crazy sometimes.
Heated?
Not heated, but jockeying for position is a big thing.
Yeah. You know who's good at finding the inside track there?
Sammy Lev.
I bet you Sammy Lev is down in the dugout an hour before Mike Schilt comes out.
I've actually seen this.
And I believe Sam Levitt positions himself right next to where he thinks Mike Schilt will sit.
I believe that Sam
has... So that when Schilt sits down, plop, there's Sammy right there. You know why Sammy's doing it? Because he's getting the information for all of you out there. He doesn't want to miss anything.
I believe Sammy also has the okay to be the guy who's standing right there because, you know, he's there every day. He's a Padres radio member, so he's good.
He's my favorite guy.
Sammy Love?
Yeah, he's past you. You used to be my favorite guy.
Oh, I didn't never think I was
in
the
you,
lead.
Did you do your pick 'em yet for the Survivor Pool? You did make it through week one, right?
Yes, I did. I had the 49ers, but I think I got to change.
Oh, you were going to go Niners this week, but now that it looks like Brock Purdy will sit out and Mac Jones will be your guy.
Yep.
You think you could lose to the Saints?
See my phone. I just opened my fantasy app for the first time since Sunday, and it told me how much I lost by to Tony. 28 points. That's not good.
Tony beat you. Yeah.
I don't know who I'm going to pick. I already picked the Cardinals, so I can't pick them. I might just pick the Ravens just because they're playing the Browns.
That's the easiest one.
Easy pick.
Right. I mean, that's the story, you know, the way the fantasy or the Survivor looked. The Ravens is the easiest one of the week, or on paper anyway. But again, if you pick it, then you can't use the Ravens again. So we got, I think, 75 people survived week one. So if you're in our survivor pool, make sure you make your picks before week two.
Sorry if you said this, but who did you pick last week?
I last week took Denver, and I was sweating a little while there. The Bo Nix did not look great.
No.
You know, again, one game, but I thought he'd come out of the gate roaring, and he didn't come out.
He did not.
Doing that.
Lots of turnovers.
He didn't look good, right? He threw a couple of picks. Actually, the guy who looked pretty good for Denver was J.K. Dobbins. He always looks good until about mid-October when he gets hurt.
And he then definitely looked good. In.
But anyway, the Bronco defense was good. Cam Ward couldn't do anything. So Denver won that one. And I've already picked for this week. And I have taken the Cardinals, as you did last week. The Cardinals have the easiest beginning schedule in NFL history.
Playing
they
the Panthers.
Opened with the Saints last week, and this week the Panthers at home. Cardinals.
Rod said that he made the Survivor Pool cut by picking the Vikings. That looked bad for a while, Rod.
Wow, Rod.
That
looked bad for a while. What were you, I don't want to say what were you thinking, but you were certainly in peril.
Now, when you make your picks, do you look at the percent picked on there and kind of use that? Because with each team, it tells you how many other people are picking that team.
I do.
So, like, this week, the Ravens are 27%, and I would
say. So, that means of all of the people in our pool.
In all pools, I believe.
Oh, in all pools.
Yeah.
A quarter of the people are in the country have picked the Ravens.
Now,
basically.
The Cowboys have 11.83%, and they're playing the Giants at home.
I'm not sold on the Cowboys yet.
Yeah, me neither.
Giants, you know. I'll say one thing about the Giants. They were down in that game, but Jaden Daniels did not run away from the Giants.
No,
right?
Not at
they kind of they made the Commanders work for what they got. The reason the Giants lost the game is because Russell Wilson is just. I mean, he might as well just go to retirement. I mean, he's just stealing money now. I'm not trying to pick on a guy that Tony loves, but Russell Wilson, he was, this guy was great. You know it. You saw him do it to your team in the playoff a couple times.
All the time.
Right. So he had his time. He had his moments, but that's long gone now.
Because two years ago he had a good year with the Broncos. Like he had a pretty good year. His first year with the Broncos was awful.
He was terrible with the Broncos. I mean, he took that franchise backwards. I mean, they're just, you know, now coming back around. That's the Giants' problem, not mine. Make sure you get your picks. Also, fantasy football. You started 0-1 in this league, but you're the one you care more about, you won.
The one I'm in for, like, the last almost 20 years at this point. Yes, I won, and I scored the most points.
You have
a
good team. What do you have there? Lamar?
I got Lamar. I got Zay Flowers. I wanted that little connection. I have Saquon Barkley. Here's a pick that I made.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Who are you playing with? Imbeciles? How did you get all three of those guys?
I took Lamar very early. I took him way too early. I think I took him second round, to be honest.
Saquon in the first round?
Saquon in the first round with the fifth pick. Or sixth pick, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And then Travis Hunter, I'm not sold on him. Did you know he actually did play defense?
Yeah, and they said he's going to play a little bit more defense.
I don't like that for my fantasy team.
I don't really like Travis Hunter even as a player. I just think he's going to get broken into by mid-October.
Up.
He's a little guy. He's not big enough
to
stand the rigors. Not as fast as Tyreek.
He's not. You're right.
He might be as fast as Tyreek now.
Because Tyreek's a little bit older now?
No, because Tyreek just doesn't even try.
He doesn't sprint anymore.
He doesn't do anything. By the way, the story did come out today, which should surprise nobody. The Dolphins did hold a players-only meeting after their Week 1 loss. I don't know what it's going to do.
I don't know either. It's Week 1.
The reason I say, yeah, right, it's early, but the reason I don't think it's going to matter is because every player meeting in the world is not going to change the fact that they have the worst offensive line and the worst secondary in football. And those two things are almost impossible to overcome. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, Daily Gambit. Let's see how we did last night, Scrabe, as take a look at the scores and all that stuff.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I am not going to go through the results because we have Keith Costigan from Apple TV coming on to talk SCFC at 3:20. So you
talking about the Chrome?
Yes.
Love the Chrome.
You went 4-2. I went 3-3 last night. Okay. So you're still crushing.
I'm having a good week. You're not having a good week.
I haven't had a good couple weeks.
All right. Padres-Rockies, 8.5 runs. What do you see tonight?
Padres-Rockies,
eight and a half runs. I mean, over under. Remember, the Rockies did not score their whole entire first trip in here.
I know, but
it's impossible to duplicate, isn't it?
The Padres haven't been scoring either lately.
Well, then bet under.
I'm going to go under.
It's available.
I'm going under.
You can bet under.
I'm really nervous about this series.
They have to just blow them out tonight. McCade Brown with a 12-something ERA?
Yeah, it's bad.
Come on. Get over. I'll go over.
Okay.
Who gets more strikeouts, McCade Brown, the rookie, or Randy Vasquez?
This is interesting because Randy Vasquez will pitch longer probably, but he might not have more than 2 strikeouts.
That'll be enough. I'll take Vasquez. McCade Brown, I don't think we'll get a strikeout tonight. Ha! There, I jinxed that one.
Yeah. I'm going to go Vasquez, too.
Vasquez. All right, here's fun one for you, and I got to be careful.
Uh-oh.
Who's going to pitch longer? More innings. Steven Kolek for Kansas City tonight against Cleveland. Or, and yes, this is a real name, Cam Schlittler.
Oh, yeah. This is, yes.
Right? This is an announcer's nightmare.
Bomb.
It's an announcer's nightmare. I mean, he's pitching, so you have to mention his name like 75 times at least.
And Schlittler.
You got to be so careful. So who pitches longer tonight? Schlittler is facing the Lions, the Tigers, Detroit. Or Kolek. Our old guy Kolek. Who do you like here?
Who's Kolek facing?
Cleveland.
Cleveland, that's right.
Schlittler or Kolek? And I better not say Schlittler again.
I'm going to go
I'm
with
getting
the,
risky.
The Yankee guy.
You're going with him.
Yes.
All right, I'll take Kolek. I'll count on Steven. Manny versus Hunter Goodman tonight.
Oh, that's... Yeah. You're putting all-star Hunter Goodman against...
Struggling Manny.
Yes.
Runs, hits, RBIs. Manny went zeros in all three games against the Reds.
Ugh.
Hunter Goodman has 30 home runs.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. I'm going to keep picking Manny until I win one. I mean, come on, Manny. Let's go. He's taking underhanded BP today. He's focused.
Matt on the chat said there's so many killer cats in Detroit, which I never thought about, but there are tigers and lions.
Scary out there.
Yeah, it is scary. I'm going to go with Hunter Goodman just to maybe reverse jinx, Manny.
Reverse jinx. NC State College -7.5 at Wake. We have like a minute and a half left. So
-7.5.
NC State at Wake.
My favorite university.
Go with Wake then.
No, I'm going to go with NC State.
Really?
Yeah.
Wake's at home. You always take the points like that at home, Scraby. Green Bay -3 against the Commanders. I think Green Bay might be the best team after week one. I thought they were the most impressive winner of the entire week.
Yeah.
That's why I'm taking Washington, because that's how football works.
It's in Green Bay, right?
Yes.
Packers looked amazing. I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I know they looked amazing. I just said that. Here's one for you. Debo versus Terry McLaurin. Both on the same team. Who gets more yards receiving?
Scary.
Debo or McLaurin?
I feel like they're going to... It just always seems... Terry McLaurin seems to be a good wide receiver, but for some reason, he never gets the ball.
Okay.
And they used Debo a lot last week. I'm going to go Debo.
Debo, wow.
Is this just receiving?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going McLaurin here. That's an easy one, I think. And finally, Jaden Daniels or Jordan Love. Passing yardage, it's rated even.
Oh.
So it's a coin toss here. Jaden Daniels is my fantasy quarterback this year, so I'm counting on him. I'll take Daniels.
I'm going to go with Daniels, too.
All righty. There's our picks. When we come back, we'll get into some soccer or football for
football.
You fans out there. The Chrome back in action this weekend, trying to close in on a division championship. Keith Costigan from MLS Season Pass on Apple TV when we return.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back here. 3:19 the time. Chris Ello, Scraby alongside Tony down at Petco Park. We have our NFL pick segment coming up in just a little bit. So Tony will be back for that. Each week, Tony and I pick three NFL games and three apiece. And then we pick an upset pick. And we keep tabs all year long. I believe we came up tied after week one. So we'll have our NFL picks coming up, of course, tonight. Washington. The WFT taking on the GBFT at Lambeau Field. Commanders, Packers. I still don't want to say Commanders. I shouldn't say it like that. My mind, sending the message to my mouth, still doesn't want to say Commanders. How many years has it been now? Like 4 years where they've been the Commanders? I still can't quite get there.
I'm not sure.
Guardians, I think I've got the Guards now in baseball. But the Commanders, I don't. Anyway. Packers, Commanders. The two franchises that were coached by the great Vince Lombardi. A lot of people don't remember that. That Lombardi actually left the Packers. And his final year, the year before his death of lung cancer, Lombardi coached the then Redskins for 1 year.
Oh.
People don't really know that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's
at
true.
All
right. Let's get to some MLS stuff. Looking forward to it as always. Keith Costigan, analyst for season pass on Apple TV, joining us here ahead of another big one Saturday night. SDFC taking on Minnesota United FC. And right now, Keith, I don't know what the magic number is to clinch the division, but a win over Minnesota would get SDFC pretty close, right?
Yeah, I think you win this game this weekend, you can start to plan on being the number one team in the West. I don't think many people had these two teams, 1 and 2, at the start of the year, but that's a testament to the job San Diego have done in terms of hitting in every department. Their big name players have delivered, their young players have delivered, their journeyman players have delivered, and it's going to be a great game this weekend. Really looking forward to calling it.
Yeah, 7:30 Saturday night out at Snapdragon Stadium, the Chrome, as they're starting to call them around here, Keith, taking on Minnesota United. You know, we've talked a lot about this year about their offense, SDFC, and the open style of play, and you know, they're among the league's leaders in goal scoring and goal differential. The one thing I haven't really looked a lot at is, you know, how they've defended. And, you know, when you look at least statistically, SDFC, 34 goals allowed. There's only a few teams that have allowed fewer than that. So is that a, with a team that plays wide open, how rare is it that you can defend that well?
Well, I always hear people throw out the line, good defense leads to good offense. I think it's the other way around here. They're so good,
yeah,
San Diego, at stretching the opposition, Dreyer and Lozano getting in behind. It means the opposition don't have the opportunity to transition quickly against you. That's number one. Number two, San Diego have the second best possession rate in the league. If you have the ball, you don't have to defend. And they've done that really, really well this year. Yeah. So those two things have been good. And I'll tell you one thing as well. I mentioned earlier the balance. You brought in players like Chris McVay, who's been around the league a little bit and has been better. But now you have Manu Dua, who's a number one draft pick. He's a young player in the middle of that back four playing lights out. So you add up all of those elements. This is a complete team. There's no, I don't look to San Diego and say they're good at this, but here's their Achilles heel. They are literally the most complete first-year team we've ever seen in this league, in my opinion. And a win this weekend will solidify that, because if they get a win, they'll have picked up more points than any other first-year franchise team in MLS history.
Talking to Keith Costigan, analyst for Apple TV, MLS on Apple TV, and I was just about to ask you, what's the Achilles heel? But you said they don't really have one. They're actually, you know, a complete team. So how did they do it? Because it's surprising to all of us that they have the roster that they do, being an expansion team. It doesn't really seem like expansion teams should be this complete. How did they do it?
Well, you have to get everything right. So you're signing designated players. That's where most of your money goes. They've delivered on the two big designated players. Dreyer, more goal involvements than anybody in this league. Oh, by the way, that includes Lionel Messi, the greatest to ever play the game. So yeah, he's delivered. Chucky Lozano has delivered. And then you look to the mid-tier players you bring in. Jeppe Tverskov, more touches than anybody else in the league in terms of ball contacts, completed passes. He's delivered. And then you also have to go and say, well, let's get some young players and hope that they work out. They haven't just worked out. They've excelled. I mentioned Manu Dua, Luca Bombino, the left back who LAFC said, yeah, you can have him. He's already attracting interest in England and Italy. Every bucket of players that you want imaginable has delivered for this coach. And Mikey has to take the credit for that. Mikey Varas, as a leader of that staff, they have to take the credit of getting the best out of every different group of players available. Because of that, they're in the position that they're in. Because of that, I'm sitting here. I can't believe it. I definitely didn't predict this at the start of the year. I'm literally saying San Diego has no Achilles heel.
Ah, I love to hear it. Keith Costigan, an analyst for MLS Season Pass. You talked about how everyone's delivered. I mean, Dreyer's been the, you know, great, right? 14 goals, 18 assists, incredible. Even Milan Alaski is not here anymore. When he was here, with 10 goals in 14 games. And, you know, Chucky has done his thing. Yeah, it's been great. Where does Dreyer rank in the MVP voting? I mean, it sounds like he should certainly be considered. Although, can you possibly give an MVP award to Dreyer over a guy like Messi, who is acknowledged as the greatest player who's ever played?
It is very, very difficult to. Yeah. I will say he's in the conversation, but you have people, let's be honest, out of market. They cover other teams. They're in the Northeast. They will automatically go, well, who's on the ballot? Well, I'm going to vote Messi. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. In every sport, we see this in Hall of Fame balloting as well, in baseball, sure, etc. So for me, I haven't decided who I'm going to vote for yet. I think for me as well, we give the vote a little bit too early. I want to see who's still playing on those last 2 weeks of the playoffs. So that should play a part. We give it a little bit earlier. But right now, if you're not giving it to Lionel Messi, I think the case is that Anders Dreyer is the league MVP based on goal involvements, based on where his team are in the league. Because of those goal involvements, he's right there. If you're asking me to bet, I'm not putting money that he wins it over Lionel Messi. That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough, right? I mean, he's going up against the Michael Jordan of soccer, and he's going to say, you beat him for MVP. I just touch a little bit on Dreyer and where he came from, in the sense, I think soccer people, football people, they knew Dreyer. I don't think we, as a new fan base, really knew Dreyer. We were sold Chucky Lozano. He's the big ticket item, and that's great. He's, you know, from nearby, and the whole thing. Dreyer, I don't think we really knew much about this guy. When they signed him, was there anybody who expected this kind of result?
I had known about, you know, I'm someone that watches a lot of soccer, obviously, because it's my job. But
yeah,
when he was younger, about 7 years ago, he was signed by a club called Brighton and Hove Albion in England. Now, Brighton have one of the best scouting and recruiting networks in the world. They have a certain way of identifying talent and seeing what maybe other teams don't. So the minute I looked him up, I said, hang on a minute, Brighton's on the resume. That is automatically a good sign that he comes from good stock. He played in Michelin, really, really good team. And then you go to Anderlecht in a very good league in Belgium, and you deliver, you score goals, you set up goals. So I looked at this, and I did think he would do well. I would be lying if I thought he would be an MVP candidate and he would lead the league in assists and goal involvements. Not there. I thought he would be a very good designated player. He's not that. He's an elite designated player. But there were certainly things on that resume that led me to say, this is a player that the world of football knows, and he has the ability to take over a game. And he's done that several times this year.
Talking to Keith Costigan of Apple TV. Last one for me, Keith. The playoffs are coming up, as we know, but the format, there's going to be, you know, in baseball, people are worried about the team that gets the number one seed because they get some time off. Is there any sort of worry for these teams that have an extra little break before they start playing in the playoffs, or is that just fans in baseball making it up?
Look, your fans are always going to find reasons to be angry. Like, if your team gets the number one seed, and you're like, oh my God, we're the number one seed, you need to get out and just get into that fresh air of San Diego and go for a walk.
Yeah.
I think we get into the playoffs a little bit quicker. You have one game that you miss, but that's only 8th and 9th place that play in that round.
Okay.
So you're straight into it. If you're San Diego, you're playing so well. You've rebounded when you have had blips this year. So, no, you want to be the number one. Why not? I think you mentioned Michael Jordan. I'm pretty sure he was number one a few times when he went into the playoffs, and yeah, kind of worked out for him. So yeah, I'd be excited all around. The doom and gloomers will find a way to turn number one into a bad thing. I'm not buying into that. It's a really, really good thing.
How about the shield? Is this a thing for the players, for the organization? The regular season shield. They're 1 point behind Philadelphia here. Is that something that they should push for? And even at the risk of not being as ready for the playoffs as you'd want to be, how important is that?
For the purists, it's huge, because in Europe, that's how we judge. We don't have playoffs in Europe.
Right.
So we judge it, who's the number one team in the league. So I guarantee you Mikey's selling his team. We spoke with Mikey today and said, what's the mindset? And he said to go for it in every game left. So they want to win the shield, because at the end you get a trophy. And what do we all play this game for? Mm-hmm. To lift trophies, to your first year, you don't know when you're going to get this opportunity again, because the way the rules, sometimes you have to break up teams, etc. Any chance you get to win a trophy you do it. You have a chance to do that. And I think as a purist, maybe as a little bit of a romantic, I think at the end of the regular season, when everybody has played 34 games, if you're standing tall at the top, that says a lot about your team.
That would be something. Yeah, they've got five games or five fixtures, Scraby. I got to, you know, get my lingo right here. Five fixtures ahead before the end of the season. Keith, thanks so much. We love it. Have a great weekend in San Diego. Enjoy the game. And thanks so much for all your help and time. And to all of you guys at MLS Season Pass. It's been a fun every Thursday having you guys on.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes, Keith Costigan from MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, where you can watch the match Saturday night when SDFC takes on Minnesota United FC. That is the one and the two squads in the West. SDFC right now is ahead in the standings by 5 points. Remember, you get three for a win. So there's a lot here. I mean, if Minnesota wins, they pull within 2 points. But if SDFC wins, Grave, they could go up by eight. And that would leave Minnesota, you know, very little time
Minnesota,
to catch up.
Not going
to
catch up.
No.
Not going to catch
up. So this is a big one Saturday night. And I'm sure the crowds are going to be crazy and going chrome
wild.
Wild.
Yeah. I have, when we get back, we're going to do our NFL pick'em. I also just saw a tweet about the Padres pitching plans for tomorrow night. So
has that been open? It had been open?
Yeah. Okay. They're pushing guys back. They're bringing guys back.
Okay. Well, let's tell everybody what that is when we come back on Gwen and Chris. Here's a crazy baseball note. Getting back at it here at 3:38. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Tony and I have our NFL pick segment here in a few minutes, and then Scraby's going to give us the pitching news surrounding the Padres. Tonight it'll be Randy or Robert Vasquez, as I call him. I mean, you think I would know the guy. I've been living and dying with every pitch all year because he's was one of my fantasy guys. Vasquez tonight, and we'll see about tomorrow night. Scrabe will let us know shortly. But I don't know if you saw this stat, Scrabe. I didn't know this was even really happening. Last night, the Athletics, as they're now known, got two hits and scored a run in the bottom of the ninth inning to post a 5-4 victory over the Boston Red Sox. Here's what was interesting about that. They got the two hits and the run off Aroldis Chapman.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Who,
yeah,
prior to last night, had not given up a hit since July 23rd.
That's pretty crazy.
He had not given up a hit. He had gone 17 straight appearances without allowing a single hit. That was the third most in Major League history. During those 17 games, he only walked one guy. So no hits and one walk in 17 appearances.
Isn't he like 55 years old at this point?
You know,
he
that
pitched against Tony.
I know. Our Tony faced Chapman. Chapman, I mean, you're right. I think people thought this guy's career was pretty much over, I want to say, a year or two ago. And now the Red Sox have got, I mean, he was pitching seventh, eighth inning. I think he was on that Ranger team that won the World Series.
I think, yeah, we did talk about that
yesterday. But he was pitching the seventh or eighth inning. He wasn't the closer. Yeah, Chapman started his career in 2010. So he's in his 16th, 17th year. He's never been better. That's a great streak. If only our friend Robert Suarez could put something together like that so that Mike Shildt wouldn't have to keep asking questions as to why he doesn't change him out for Mason Miller. That would be nice. But it's not easy to do what Chapman is doing here. 17 straight without a hit.
First, we have a question from the chat. If the Padres traded for Chapman, would he take the closer job for Suarez? what was I going to say? Dang it!
I don't know.
That there's my old man brain working.
Right? Chapman or Suarez? That's what we were talking about.
Does
that help you?
No.
Does that jog your memory?
No.
Anyway, he did give up a run last night, so I'm assuming that on the Red Sox sports channels today, they're like, when are we going to get Chapman out of that close? You know, that ninth inning thing.
I would
hope not. Ridiculous. We can't be losing to the Athletics if we're going to get to where we want to go.
Well, that is true, but the Padres
Chapman gave up a run. That's awful.
Padres also got crushed by the A's in that one game against Dylan Cease way back when in like the beginning
of the season.
I'm just saying,
the way fans react, Chapman gave up a run last night, so I bet you a lot of Red Sox fans forgot about the 17 straight.
I don't want to talk about Robert Suarez and whether or not he should be the closer.
Fine.
But Ben Higgins.
Yeah.
Ben Pearson's your other guy.
He's my other guy.
Ben Higgins put it perfect. If you're a fan of the opposing team, which pitcher do you want to see?
And are you
the answer
more scared
is,
of?
Yeah, or are you scared of? I'm more scared of Mason Miller, but I don't know why I have these weird feelings about Robert Suarez, even though he's only given up 5 home runs this year, the same as Mason Miller. He's saved a heck of a lot of games this year. He's converted a lot of his saves. I don't know why I get that eek feeling whenever he comes in.
It does seem like he coughs it up.
It seems that way.
Right. It's not fair to say that he does, you know, all the time. But I see the perception. Ninth inning, tie game, home run, Suarez, loser. You know, he's
bada bing, bada boom.
Right. It's on Suarez. And you know, I will say, and I mentioned this on the roundtable, there was a game this year, right, in Los Angeles, correct me if I'm wrong, where they switched it up. Suarez pitched the eighth. Miller was going to pitch the ninth, but Suarez gave up the winning run in the eighth. Miller never got into the game.
And yes. I do.
And everybody thought, what are you doing? You can't leave Miller out there. Well, then you can't have both.
I have come
so
to.
So if you're saving Miller for the ninth, then maybe he wouldn't get in because that day Suarez pitched the eighth and Miller never got into the game.
First off, I don't think Robert Suarez is going to be back next year. So
I don't
either.
So you're going to get plenty of ninth innings next year.
Yeah, you can't. You can't have it both ways. Like, if you're going to go into a game and you're a fan who says Mason Miller should be the closer, then you can't be mad when Mason Miller gives up the game. Why are you putting Mason Miller in there? Just
they both
pick your line and stick to it.
I'll be honest with you. Mason Miller has a 9.70 WHIP. Robert Suarez has 9.57.
He's got
better.
A better whip.
He's got a better whip than Mason Miller. I know it seems impossible, but he does. I'm just saying.
That is wild, Chris.
All right, let's go to...
Do you want the pitching news real quick?
Oh, yeah, I did. That was the whole idea of this segment, yes.
So Kevin Acey is tweeting that tomorrow night, J.P. Sears is going to be pitching for the Padres. And then on Saturday, Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish on Sunday, and then Michael King versus Mets on Tuesday. He said give starters a rest before the final push and for the playoffs.
I'm not going to go and say what I'm thinking.
Thank you. Don't say it. Just throw it to traffic.
I'll throw it to this. Aroldis Chapman's whip is .66.
Well, I mean, if you don't give up a hit for a month and a half.
Incredible. All right, traffic, and then Tony's in for our NFL picks as we get ready for week two.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for Tony and Chris to face off. Playing for a season-long prize of pride.
I see pride. I see power.
The guys make their picks. And then they stress over their picks all weekend.
No! Please, no! No! No!
Quinn and Chris, NFL Pick'em starts now.
All right, it is week two. NFL starts actually tonight with Washington at Green Bay.
Good game.
I think it's a good game. You know, we'll find out. Packers looked really, really good against the Lions. Then again, Washington beat the Lions last year. So we'll see. With Jaden Daniels matched up against, I guess it's just Micah Parsons. He's really the only one on that Packers defense. Because every time the Packers defense makes a play, it's because of Micah Parsons, according to the people who follow the
according
game.
According to all those social media clippings.
It's intercepted. What pressure by Micah Parsons? Doesn't matter
does
what
get
happened.
A lot of the credit.
Doesn't matter. That's tonight, though. Then, of course, we'll continue out the weekend. Tony and I are set to make our picks. In week one, We both hit all three of our games for 6 points each, and neither of us hit our upset pick last week. I went with the Lions over the Packers as my upset. That did not happen. Tony took a flyer on Cam Ward and Tennessee to win at Denver. That was actually closer to happening. Yeah. Tennessee was in the game for quite a while. But I don't think Cam Ward made it to... Did he even make 100 yards passing? I don't think he did.
I think he was just under.
Yeah. So, but that's a tough defense to start out with. So here we go into week number two. We'll have our three-point pick, 2 point, 1 point, and then finally our upset. And I get to go first this week. We just rotate that. If you're wondering, Tony went first last week. So I get my choice of any game. Before I do it, I want to remind everybody who's in our Survivor pool, our 97.3 Survivor pool. It's, you know, up and running. I think we still have 75 people, if I'm not mistaken, alive after the first week. So if you're in the pool, make sure you get your picks in for week two. And I will go with Baltimore because this is an easy one standing out for 3 points, Tony. It's the first and only double-digit spread on the board this week. There was no double-digit games last week. So Baltimore at home over Cleveland seems like the obvious choice for a three-point game. That leaves it for you.
Let's go Arizona over Carolina.
Arizona over Carolina. Boy, Arizona, I don't know who they had the in with to open the season with New Orleans, Carolina back-to-back. That was,
I mean, that was pretty. Pressured the Cardinals, too.
A little bit, yeah. Well, you heard that Kyler Murray had, you didn't hear it, did you?
No.
He had the worst case of...
The poops?
Yeah, can you say diarrhea?
I just did.
I know. He said it was awful. He said he was up all night in his hotel room. He said he could barely make it through each drive.
Wow.
Without having to run back.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine getting hit by a 400 or 350 pound guy with your stomach
all weird? So I can see why Kyler Murray may not have looked like himself in week one. All right.
That was Kyler. Oh, sorry, Kyler. And they were wearing white uniforms, too. Can you imagine how bad that would have been?
He could have pulled for the Warriors?
Jimmy Butler.
Could have pulled a Jimmy Butler.
And soiled himself during the game.
Here's the thing. I said diarrhea. You've gone on and done things way more
soiled
than that.
way better than the D word.
All right. Arizona for three for Tony. My two-point pick now. Game I feel next best about. I'm going to go, even though it's not the most odds, I'm going to take Detroit. I'm going to believe in Detroit. They're home to Chicago. If I'm going to be right, that the Lions are going to, you know, finally make a Super Bowl. They certainly didn't look the part in week one. They have to bounce back in week two. They have Chicago, but it's in Detroit. I'll take the Lions for my two-point pick. Tony.
Give me Minnesota.
Minnesota. Home against Atlanta. That's the Sunday night game. It's a pretty good Sunday night game, I think. Kevin O'Connell. Your guy, Scrib.
No, not my guy anymore. Tony already told me to back off. What did you call him? I thought about this multiple times since you've said it. He's
the quarterback.
He's
whisperer?
Got an aura. He's got an aura.
He's got an aura, man.
You don't forget where you come from, right?
I didn't say he forgot where you come from.
I was the best scout team player he's ever seen.
It's what you have to say when you're being interviewed by the guy.
Right. And you kind of led him to the question.
I didn't even ask the question.
Oh, yes. You said, do you remember what a great scout team player I was? Yes, and he's like, yes, maybe you were the best.
Pull the clip.
I can't. It was like 3 years ago.
Go pull it right now. We'll wait.
Okay.
All right. Tony has taken Minnesota with his two-point pick. One-point pick now, the third and final game. There's a couple, you know, good possibilities here. I'm not going there. I'm going to go Okay. just so everybody knows, we really do agonize over these picks each week. I'm going to go with your guys.
Name and logo.
No, I'm not going with them. I'm going with the 49ers.
Why?
Mac Jones. I feel good about Mac Jones. Not really, but they got to beat the Saints. Saints can't beat anybody. Well, all right.
Well, the whole team is basically on IR now.
The 49ers?
Yeah.
Well, McCaffrey's
he's fine.
He's fine. That's all they need. He can punt. He can play quarterback.
He did. Like, he was legitimately the quarterback in that NFC Championship. Until
and he kept them in the game for the first half, pretty much. I'll take them. I just think the Saints are that bad. And maybe I can jinx the 49ers, which wouldn't bother me too much.
Oh, wow.
It's only worth 1 point. I'm only sacrificing 1 point here.
Give me the Rams, baby. The Rams.
Rams. All right, Rams go to Tennessee, take on the Titans. You know, that was a not talked about win that the Rams had last week, but they beat Houston, a team that's been in the playoffs, won their division, and that was a pretty good defensive effort. Yeah. A lot of people say CJ Stroud is just going backwards. I don't know what you guys are seeing, but
I'm seeing
he's
that.
Not, he's not putting the same offense.
I don't
together,
think he so, has a great.
He doesn't have the same weapons.
Yeah.
Remember how his really successful year? He had that Dell kid that had that terrible leg. Yeah, he doesn't have him.
Nico Collins has been hurt the last couple of years.
He was playing the other day.
Yeah, he was.
Although Joe Mixon is out now.
Was my guy there when he was there his rookie year? He's now with Patriots.
Oh, Diggs.
Yeah.
Diggs
he had Diggs, too, at that point when he had that big year.
I think he tore his ACL.
I can't remember.
Well, he's coming back from that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Texans are not even part of this.
All right.
Well, they're not even part of this discussion. I know we're confusing everybody. All right, so my 3-point, 2-point pick, I'm going my rundown this week is for 3, I went with Baltimore. And for 2, I went with, oh my goodness, I didn't write it down today, so that's why I'm scrambling. Detroit, for 1, I went with San Francisco. Tony went in order with, my goodness, who'd you go with, Tony? You probably don't even remember who you went with.
I do remember. It was Arizona.
Minnesota.
L.A. Rams.
L.A.
Baby.
Rams.
Right, the Rams, baby.
The Rams. I get it all marked down. Here we go with our upset pick. If your underdog team wins straight up, you get the points by which they are underdog. I am casting my lot this week on the J-E-T-S.
No way you took my freaking pick.
I did.
Jets.
They're home. I was impressed with their offense. I know they end up losing the game, but they kind of lost it on a fumbled kickoff. I am not sold on Buffalo. You know, after giving up 40 points, people put them in the Super Bowl. That seemed a little early. Sorry, Tony. I had my mind on that one earlier. So I will take the Jets. That's the only game you cannot pick for your upset this week. You have to go to option 2.
He says, all right, fine.
He's upset now.
Give me the 4 points that you're going to get. Or you would have got 2, I believe. Give me that Chicago Bears over the Detroit Lions.
Okay, that is 4-pointer. Yeah, that's a 4-pointer. All right.
I think that could happen, actually.
He loves Tony is going to live and die and mostly die with Caleb Williams, but I'm going to let him.
I didn't pick Caleb Williams last week, did I?
No, you picked Cam Ward.
You picked Cam Ward last week, but all right. He's got the Bears for his upset. And
Chris
I've got
is very spicy about your picks, Tony. It's very, it's very strange.
What do you mean spicy? He's beat me back to back years. I'm getting a little frustrated here. I gotta get.
Welcome to my world in the Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show.
No kidding, man. Tony wins everything.
What the heck?
It's not right.
The baseball skills weren't enough.
He doesn't need this additional enjoyment in his life.
It says who? Why can't I?
And he also whipped you in fantasy last week. As I remind, let's remind you 15 times about that.
I stopped checking the score. I don't even know what the
beat you down, son.
You know the score. Listen to him. I stopped checking the score. You think you're that cool now that you don't even need to look at your score?
No, I think that if I do look at my score and I keep seeing that I'm losing, it angers me. So if I don't look, I'm better off.
Well, by the way, wait a minute. You won.
No, I didn't.
I know you didn't, but how did you know that?
Because you told
me. You never
me
looked
already
at your score.
You told me a million times. I looked at the matchup.
I know I did.
I didn't have any players left, and Tony had already beat me, so there you go. Okay.
You actually, because of Lamar, you actually made it a game, but I had one more guy left. So.
Yeah, and Jahmyr Gibbs didn't do anything. Sam Laporta didn't do anything.
That's what you get for stealing him from me. Okay, we got our NFL picks in there. We'll come back. Much more Gwen and Chris ahead, and it's all ahead of Padres-Rockies tonight on 97.3 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.